Scottish Independence. By Godfrey Bloom. There has been some disingenuous doublespeak on the subject of Scottish independence post-election, at which they triumphed with a platform for independence from the United Kingdom as strong as the Conservative Party's overwhelming endorsement of independence from the European Union. Ironically, many Brexiteers suggest the Scots didn't really know what they were voting for, that the Scots don't really want independence. But if you look at an electoral map of Scotland, it tells a different story. It is almost 90% nationalist. I am well aware this does not necessarily reflect a 90% desire for independence, a point conceded by the SNP itself. But it is too large to be ignored and can only lead to the same sense of injustice felt by Brexiteers over recent decades. The Scots already have their own parliament. Their representation at Westminster is absurdly overblown, 59 seats. For a country small in population and weak economically, SNP MPs are socialists in the main and most hate the English. Their concept of Scottish history is based on Mel Gibson's Braveheart. Their political power base is in the fried Mars bar zone of Glasgow, and their dress code is based on Rab Nesbitt. Posh jocks vote Tory and live in the borders or far-flung rural districts, but they are desperately few. Unhelpfully, the lifestyle of the erstwhile Scottish Tory leader puts off those of a Presbyterian persuasion. Scotland is conservative with a small c. Moreover, a permanent imbalance of Westminster representation has deprived the Scottish electorate from any sense of responsibility. They can vote SNP to twist the English tail. Vote SNP for a lark, as the Scottish national debt balloons out of control. The great Scottish asset was its educational system, the best probably in Europe, now frittered away by politically correct SNP nonsense, leaving a dumbed-down country now worse than even England or America. I write as part Scot. My ancestor John Bruce came down after the 45 and made his home in London. I wear the ancient Bruce tartan on Burns Night with great pride. The Scots have a history unequaled perhaps by any other country in recent times. Engineering, military, scientific and economic. The contribution to mankind is awesome, much facilitated by the British Empire, to which their contribution was extensive. Consider their contribution to the Enlightenment, ponder the names of David Ricardo, Adam Smith, James Hutton, and David Hume. Scotland is a country well suited to independence now modern communication has made geographical location irrelevant. The anachronistic Barnett formula which has spoon-fed Scotland has done it no favours. Scotland now is akin to a morose unemployed teenager loafing on a sofa watching daytime TV instead of the intellectual icon so admired by Voltaire. The irony is the SNP is the worst party to lead an independent Scotland. The template should be Singapore, not Venezuela, the inevitable destiny of socialism. Scotland must be genuinely independent to prosper. Membership of the failing and corrupt EU is not independence at all. Rule from Brussels is no more satisfactory than rule from London. Indeed, the desire to remain by Scots shows a woeful lack of confidence in themselves. Much is made by naysayers of the practical difficulties. Let me kill the main ones here. Constitutional. There is no reason that a constitutional monarchy cannot remain. It works for New Zealand, Australia, and Canada. The House of Windsor has very sound Scottish roots. I believe independence and monarchy are not mutually exclusive. I hear no great call in Scotland for republicanism. Money. MSM always flag this up as a stumbling block. Scotland can easily adopt a free currency zone, let settlement be by done under contract law. Abolish legal tender laws, let the market decide. The true Scot will accept any sound monetary settlement. It works in duty-free shops at any airport all over the world. Remember, legal tender is simply a scam by the state to steal money by inflating its supply and devaluing it. Defence. The English and Scots are joined at the hip militarily. A simple defence agreement, I mean defence, not military adventurism, which today passes for defence, is non-controversial. No upheaval is necessary. A free trade agreement is in everyone's interest. By the time independence is settled, there will be a pan-European free trade agreement in place if we assume the EU has not embarked on a suicide mission. The landslide SNP result must be met with a post-Brexit referendum. Linked to that is electoral boundary reform to halve the number of Scottish Westminster seats, scrap the Barnett formula and make Scotland pay its way. The status quo must not be an option. The Prime Minister, for all his bluster, is an appeaser. The worst thing that can happen is for Boris Johnson to yet again try to buy the Scots with English taxpayers' money. They must be given stark choices, not left to continue whinging and festering in a political quagmire of their own making. Moreover, the English must be included in the referendum. The Act of Union was a voluntary agreement by Scotland and England. It must be revisited by both parties for a fair and lasting settlement. Copyright Godfrey Bloom 2019.